check out Rush Collectibles' awesome horror figures, including the first and only Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 figures. For more information, go to rushfigures.com.
Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Doing pretty good. Feeling pretty spooky today. It's always a good day to be spooky.
Pretty screamtastic.
There you go.
Well, fantastic. That's right. Well, today, on this episode, we will be reviewing the movie Trap, which is out in theaters now, but we've got a lot to do and talk about before then. Before we dive into everything, everybody make sure you check out the bonus episode that we just released, featuring another interview, this time with Rye Barrett, who played Johnny, the lead killer character, in A Violent Nature. The interview is available on all our usual feeds, plus there's a special video version available on YouTube. So check that out. Rye was a cool guest, very fun to talk to. Lots of exciting stuff going on in the world of Rye Barrett that you're going to want to check out. And he talks about all things Johnny and gives us a little insight behind the scenes peek and his feelings and everything else. So it was a pretty good interview, Ike.
Yeah, no, I greatly enjoyed it. It was definitely different. And I don't mean this at all in the way it's going to come across, but it's definitely different talking to someone who's been in like that big of a movie. It's got a little bit of a different atmosphere to it.
Yeah. I mean, it's the everybody we've talked to has great films, but this is the highest grossing film that we've spoke with someone to, and the widest release, and and everything else. So yeah, it was kind of cool, considering everybody, it seems like within the fandom of horror at one time or another has been talking about In a Violent Nature, good, bad, or indifferent. And here we are talking about the guy right at the center of it, playing that character that everybody's talking about. And it was pretty cool. And he dropped at least what was news to us about the streaming release of In a Violent Nature. And we talked a little bit about the upcoming sequel. And of course, talked lots about the production of the first movie and his process and his inspirations and everything else. And, we all have these guys, you know, the Kane Hodders and the Derek Mears and all these guys that we like that played these, you know, big masked killer guys, right? That become synonymous with that role and iconic. And after talking to Rye, it's pretty cool to know that, you know, if he chooses to do that, you know, it throughout his career here and there or whatever, or just as Johnny even. Yeah. It's pretty cool to know that it's in good hands leading into the next generation of films, because he brings a lot to those characters. Subscribe to us now, and you'll get that automatically. But if you'd like to see Ike, me, and Rye, and Rye's a pretty good looking dude. If you'd like to see us, I'm not speaking about you and me, Ike. So we're there.
That's right.
but we're kind of like that garnish on the side, I guess. Right. You know, and we're not really what you're there for. And but anyway, if you want to see all of our beautiful faces, you can go to YouTube and see that. There's a video version. We put video versions up of all these interviews that we do with these talents. So go check those out and just, you know, keep watch. There'll be more of these. We very much enjoy dropping these in. Like I said, we drop them in as bonus episodes so they don't take away from our regularly scheduled programming with what we do here. But we very much enjoy talking to all these people, and there'll be more coming in the future as these guys, you know, come up and pop up and everything else. We get approached to do them. There's people we like to approach, and who knows? Maybe we'll score a few super big iconic names down the road. Never know.
That's right. That's the goal.
That's right. That's what we're striving for. So anyway, subscribe to us everywhere, and so that you don't miss any of that fun stuff that happens. Like our weekly stuff that we do here. And if you're a regular listener to the show, you know, the first thing we do before we really dive into the meat of the matter is, Ike, we talk about what did we watch this week? And I'll start real quick because I didn't really watch much. Just my usual stuff. Always watch the Supernatural. And other than that, I don't think I really watched anything horror related. So kind of not much for me to contribute today. What about you?
I've fully caught up on the new and last season of the show Evil. It's going to be releasing weekly, much to my demur. So that'll continue to happen for a couple weeks, and then now that I've caught up on that, I went back to Supernatural. We just finished season, I think 13, 12, 13. I don't remember exactly, but Jack was just born and introduced, so that's basically where I'm at there. Again, rewatching all this, there's a lot of people who I've seen online really diss this part of the show, but I always greatly enjoy it on my rewatch.
I like it. That means if you're truly at the point where he was just born, that means you're right ready for the Naked Jack at Pirate Pete's Tasty Treats, which is a funny episode to me.
Actually, that was the last episode we watched. It was
Okay, there you go.
season 13, episode 1, I think, is when that happens.
Yeah,
And
yeah, yeah.
this is also the season, I believe, where we get the Scooby-Doo episode.
Scooby-Doo. That's a good one too. I do like that one. It's a very creative episode,
It
and
is.
it got a, you know, obviously a lot of buzz around that still. You know, it's a pretty
It's
cool
iconic.
crossover. It's pretty cool. So, all right then, let's move on.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And it's time for our cheesy slasher of the week. This is where I present to you just what it says, a cheesy slasher from the past that we offer to you to give a view for some fun, some gore, and a few chuckles en route. And this week, the movie we present for your pleasure, or not pleasure, whichever you choose to go, is Sledgehammer. The movie was released July 12th, 1983, straight to video, which many of these movies are. The movie is described as a young boy murders his mother and her lover with a hammer. 10 years later, a wave of teenage murder plagues the same area. And, you know, again, what a vague description. I mean,
Very
that
much so.
it could be a description of a multitude of these cheesy slashers, but that's okay. The movie was written and directed by David A. Pryor, starring Ted Pryor, Linda McGill, and many others. The majority of the film was shot inside writer-director David A. Pryor's apartment, and the movie was shot in 7 days with a $40,000 budget. The movie is available to watch on Tubi. Again, I've seen this movie. Obviously, watched this movie. It's definitely a cheesy slasher, which again has a very warm spot in my heart. Nothing groundbreaking here, but just kind of fun and goofy, and interesting to watch. And you know, young boy murders his mother and her lover with the hammer. You know what? You know, hey, that's trauma set to write a film about. So there you go. But there you have it, Sledgehammer from 1983, available to watch on Tubi. So go check it out. Quite a few of these cheesy slashers that we talk about are available on Tubi. So if you're not partaking in the free goodness that is Tubi, you should be, because not only is there lots of, you know, horror and everything else, there's just a ton of everything on there. Lots and lots of stuff to
I'm not sure if this is a ringing endorsement for Tubi or not.
well, you know.
Take it for what you will.
Yeah. All I got to say is, you know what? Thanks to Tubi, you wouldn't be able to see this movie otherwise. It's the
That's
only
true.
place that's available. So whether you like it or hate it, there's Tubi is offering us the opportunity to watch it and formulate our own opinion. Because you can't find this movie anywhere else. I don't even think you can buy it video on demand. Because, let's be frank, who's going to dish out money for this? No offense, David A. Pryor and your Sledgehammer masterpiece, but I'm sorry. I enjoy cheesy slashers, but you know, I don't know if Sledgehammer will be a return visit for me. But everybody, go watch it. Let me know what you think. It's funny though, when we talk about these cheesy slashers and when we put the posts about some of these movies out there and stuff, inevitably there's almost always someone on one of the social media platforms or more, someone who's almost like a super fan of it. It's like we always get people to pop up. It's like, oh, I love that movie, and they'll post. I mean, we've had people post pictures And they've got like a slew of like posters and lobby cards or whatever, or, you know, every format of home media release and this and that. And it's like, it's funny. Not, I don't want to say it's, I'm not mocking these people or anything. But all of us have that. We have that weird, obscure, everybody else thinks it's pretty bad, but it's just like the best thing you've ever seen that you just love and are passionate about. And it's funny how, I don't know, for whatever reason, certain people key on some of these people. And I'm sure there's people out there who absolutely love the movie Sledgehammer. And
listen, I'm not saying that they're industry plants, but
I don't know. I'm not sure if they're, the industry is bothering to plant anybody for a 1983 straight-to-video horror movie. And that was filmed in 7 days for $40,000.
Perhaps not.
Because it's going to cost them more to somehow...
To plant them,
to plant the person that it did to make the movie. So I'm just like, I'm not sure they're doing that at this time, but never know. I wonder sometimes if he's super, some of these super fans, it's like, I have to look at their age. I'm like, oh, are you the age where you could have been in the movie and that's why you love it? Like, so if we get a sledgehammer, I'm going to be looking, are you David A. Pryor? Is this your movie?
Right.
And if it was, it would probably be followed up with like, hey, can we talk to you? Because I want to interview you and talk to you about Sledgehammer. But, so there you go. Go check out Sledgehammer and let us know what you think. And let us know if you are that Sledgehammer super fan that's out there. I feel like there's a super fan for everything. So I'm on a quest to find now the Sledgehammer super fan.
Same.
Yeah. And I hope it's out there. And I hope it pops up on social media because that will make my day. So let's move on then to our next segment.
Stomp the co-host.
This week, we are playing Stump the Co-host. This is our horror trivia game. Ike and I have identical horror trivia decks. And when we play this game, we each choose two cards, which is a total of four trivia questions. We alternate asking each other said questions. And whoever answers the most right out of the four wins this round, or there is the potential, obviously, for a draw. We started playing last year, and in 2023, Ike was the champion for the year. And thus far in 2024, Ike is he is leading to defend his crown with four wins. I have two wins. So let's see if I can close that gap before it gets too out of hand. So Ike, are you ready to play Stump the Co-host?
I think so.
All right. Since you are the guy defending, leading in the hot seat, I'm going to make you go first.
Sounds good.
Oh, boy. And here comes the big softball lob in for you. What classic horror movie is set in Haddonfield, Illinois?
That'd be Jolly Old Halloween.
Sure would. So there you go. So Ike is up 1-0 and always putting me the pressure on me. It's like you can't just swing and miss so that I can I can breathe. I'm always fighting from behind one way or another. So go ahead and give me my first question.
All right. I'm just going to say this now. It would be damn near impossible for you to get three of these four wrong. So this one, you might get wrong. You might get wrong.
Oh, so this is the one of the four that you think I might potentially get wrong.
Yeah, the first one, you might. I'm not sure if you've seen this movie. You probably have.
See, this is, you're going to marvel at the fact that I'm going to get one of the four right, and it's going to be the one you thought I'd get missed.
So. Oh, my God. I really hope not. You'll see in a second.
Okay, go ahead.
In the movie Maniac, what body part is taken from victims? And I'm sorry, what body part taken from victims did the murderer nail to mannequins?
Oh, I could remember. I have seen this movie, but it's been a while. Damn, what is it? I am going to say, because I'm truly not remembering. It's been so long since I've seen this movie, and I believe I've only seen it once. I'm going to say an ear.
Unfortunately not. It is scalps.
Yikes.
Not sure if that's a body part, but according to this, it is.
Yeah, well, we go by the cards.
That's right.
All right. Here is your second question. What are the seven deadly sins featured in the movie Seven?
Oh, you had this question.
I did.
Yeah. Not too long ago. So
I didn't get them all. So let's see what you do.
Okay, so easy ones are Wrath. That's an easy one. Greed. Lust.
Right.
Gluttony is one of them.
Right.
And the one that's kind of similar to gluttony is sloth.
Correct. You have two left.
So a little fun fact, I'm pulling these not from the movie Seven, but
from Supernatural.
From Supernatural or the anime Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
But the last two are Envy and Pride. Is that right?
That is correct. Uh-oh. Pressure's on me big time now. All right. Go ahead and give me my second question. Right. You think I should get all these from here on out. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident. So what Wayans Brothers parody series used the title that Wes Craven initially wanted to use for his slasher film Scream?
Well, that would be Scary Movie.
That sure would be.
All right. Here you go. If I truly do get these last three, that means you have to miss at least one of these two. Yep. For me to win. So here is your third question. Which Peter Jackson film stars Michael J. Fox as a ghost hunter?
Michael J. Fox as a ghost hunter? Mm-hmm. Peter Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
Like King Kong Peter Jackson?
Yeah, that's weird that you went to King Kong and didn't automatically say Lord of the Rings, but sure is. Yeah.
I liked King Kong. I liked that movie.
I did too, but most people think Peter Jackson is the Lord of the Rings guy. But yes, they're all the same. Same Peter Jackson.
Oh, is it Frighteners or The Frighteners?
It is The Frighteners, correct.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know where the hell I pulled that from. I pulled that one directly out of my ass.
That means you got to miss this last one for me to have a shot to win. Oh, wait. No.
To tie.
All right.
I feel pretty confident about these next two for you.
I wish you'd quit saying that. But go ahead and give me my third question.
What are the names of the demon hunting brothers in the television series Supernatural?
Literally, if I get this wrong, I deserve to be just skin and hung out to dry. Sam and Dean Winchester.
That would be accurate.
Lord, that could not be more in my wheelhouse.
I was gonna say it's pretty close to home, I think.
Here we go. So this you can either secure your win or put the heat on me for a draw. Wes Craven directed what 1991 film about two adults and a juvenile who break into a brother and sister's house and find something disturbing?
I've seen a lot of Wes Craven movies, but this isn't calling to me here. Brother and Sister's House, Wes Craven. You said 1991?
Mm-hmm. 1991, yep.
Brother and Sister's House. Because I was thinking, like, well, I mean, he did like Last House on the Left, but that was like the 80s or 70s, I think. I think he did Last House on the Left. He did The Hills Have Eyes, but that was, he did The Hills Have Eyes, right?
Yeah, he did.
But this obviously isn't that movie because that was like earlier too. Yeah, I don't even have a guess. What movie is this?
It is The People Under the Stairs.
Okay, so I do know that movie. I've just never seen it.
Okay, so here we go. You're up 3-2. I have one question left. So yep. I can pull a draw out, which doesn't close the gap, but at least it doesn't widen it either.
True.
So I need to get this one right just to stay afloat and not sink further. So what is my final question that you say I should be able to get?
Yeah, I feel pretty confident.
Okay.
All right. Who is the actual father in the movie Rosemary's Baby?
Satan?
That is correct.
Okay, that seemed odd, but okay.
Right? I like I said, the last three questions were pretty easy. That first one was a little more difficult, but...
Yeah, I wish I could have got it right. I've seen that movie, too. So, All right. Well, there you have it. A draw for us this week. 3-3. So I did not gain any ground, but I didn't fall farther behind either. So I guess I'll take the moral victory on this one and be optimistic.
That's right.
You know,
there's always next time.
Yeah. That's what I always say. Always next time. So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we will have all of our news, birthdays, anniversaries, etc. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spreading the news. And welcome back with the news. All right. So, first things first, there is a Red Band trailer for Scream. It's released very recently, as in, like, today, I believe. And it is showing off some of Damien Leone's effects. The movie will feature Tony Todd, Jeffrey Combs, Danielle Harris, Dee Wallace, Felisa Rose, Daniel Roebuck, David Howard Thornton, and more. And will release in theaters on August 21st. You know, Dave and I have both been keeping a pretty close eye on this film, and we will definitely be reviewing it when it comes out. We checked the Fandango app. I'm pretty sure we're getting it where we're at. I'm not sure if you've checked in your neck of the woods yet.
Yeah, I will probably have to drive for this one to a neighboring town a little bit, but that's okay. I will do it for this because I'm super stoked for this movie and very, very excited. And again, there was a trailer out there that showed a little bit. This one didn't really give much away, you know, plot-wise, movie-wise. It really did just show some of the gore and some of the effects,
yeah,
which is pretty cool. And but I mean, I'm super psyched. This movie sounds fun. I like the concept. And good grief with that cast. Got a little bit of everybody. This is pretty exciting. So can't wait. Just a couple weeks away.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Pretty close. It's crazy to think that we're already in August, which is just insane. So there's plenty of movies right around the corner that I'm even more excited for. So,
yep.
Anywho, moving on. Maxine is now available video on demand. So we have reviewed this film, generally got some good reviews on it. So, you know, make sure you guys check out our official review of Maxine and check it out on video on demand. It's not a bad little watch.
Yeah, it's a pretty fun movie. Definitely worth a purchase if you're into these movies. And we talked about it in full depth, so we're not going to say much here. So go listen to that in the archives if you haven't already.
Yep, absolutely. And if you haven't, why haven't you?
Let me really?
Know. Really, though. For real. For real. All right. Moving on. In a Violent Nature is being released on Blu-ray on October 22nd. Of course, you know, we here at Listen to Their Screams are huge proponents of a physical media release. We talk about it a lot, how, you know, physical media is sort of a dying breed. A lot of times it's all digital, streaming, etc. So any chance we have, we like to plug it here when we get a physical release of something.
That's the only surefire way that you can watch a movie. Because you never know if you can't find it online. You never know when it's going to disappear. Streaming services get caught up in legalities or who knows what. I mean, you never know. So a physical media is the only way you'll know that you can always watch that movie. And from what I have heard, this release of In a Violent Nature is just chock full of special features, I think. I think they're planning all kinds of cool stuff. So,
They must. I mean, you gotta think all the cool stuff that we didn't quite catch in the film. Some of the it'd be interesting. I wonder if they'll release any of the original footage from the film. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, obviously make sure you check out our full interview with Rye Barrett. But we talked a little bit about how the movie was essentially shot 70% or so And the actor who played Johnny had to drop out, and our friend Rye Barrett jumped in and saved the day, of course. I mean, I guess Johnny didn't save the day. He just killed people, but Rye Barrett saved the day.
Yeah, I wonder if the special features will have an interview with Rye Barrett, because we have that.
We do, we do. Maybe some commentary. We don't have that, but we do have an interview.
Yeah, maybe someday somebody will ask us to do some commentary.
Hey, I would do commentary any day. I love talking about movies while I'm watching them.
Yes.
My wife doesn't like it, but I mean.
Well, we won't invite her to do the commentary,
though. That's right. That's right. Kayla, you're not invited to the commentary.
Go watch it in silence.
That's right. I will not, but I can. Anywho, moving on. Actor Charles Cyphers, probably best known for playing Sheriff Lee Brackett in Halloween and Halloween 2, has passed away August 4th at the age of 85. Of course, this is a very sad, you know, sad thing to hear. Obviously, his character in Halloween and Halloween 2 is pretty memorable, because even I remember him from those movies.
Yeah. What was it? He's Annie's dad, right? Annie's,
yep,
was his daughter. And yeah, I mean, he plays a big part in it. He's a in, you know, several scenes and everything else. Did a good job. But he's got, you know, obviously many more credits under his belt. You know, he's acted many, many parts, but this is what people recognize him most for. And yeah, kind of it's pretty sad that we've lost him, but we will forever keep his memory alive every time we rewatch the movies.
That's right. And I rewatch those movies, I'd say, at least once a year, if not not more. So,
yep.
All right, moving on. Upcoming birthdays. We have August 9th, 1968, Gillian Anderson, known for her role as Scully in The X-Files. Obviously, if you've never seen The X-Files, X-Files is a fantastic, fantastic show. Very reminiscent of the style of, you know, even Supernatural. Obviously, Supernatural came after, but if you like Supernatural, this is like Supernatural, but with aliens. So,
yeah, love some X-Files. Yeah, there's a lot of correlation between the two, because a lot of the people who acted, worked on the show behind the scenes, ended up working with Supernatural, and so yeah, there's a lot of parallels between the two. But X-Files came much earlier, came first.
Yeah.
And great show, just a great show, and obviously couldn't have happened the way it did without Gillian Anderson.
Yeah, absolutely, very good. And then moving on to August 11th, 1947, Stuart Gordon, the director of Reanimator and From Beyond. And obviously, I recently, in the last, you know, 6 or 7 months or so, have watched Reanimator finally at the bequest of Dave, of course. And very good movie, very good, very enjoyable. And Stuart Gordon made a hell of a movie, you got to say.
Yeah, they're both. I mean, From Beyond's, to me, not as good as Reanimator, but still a good movie. Both of them have Barbara Crampton in them, which is always a plus. So
yeah,
but yeah, and yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen the Barbara Crampton puts it out there a lot. There's a screenshot of her and kind of a leather bondage-y type wear thing. She shares a lot on social media. That's the only reason I bring it up. Anyway, that shot is from Beyond.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, so.
Good to know. I'll have to check it out. Like I said, I'm trying to, you know, catch up on some of those older movies that I probably have not seen, so I'll put it on the list.
Yeah. Love Reanimator, though. One of my favorites.
Yeah. I very much enjoyed Reanimator. It was very good. All right. Excuse me. Moving on to August 13th, 1899, at the turn of the century, Alfred Hitchcock, director of Psycho and The Birds, Vertigo, and many, many more. Obviously, Alfred Hitchcock, his works are numberless at this point. I mean, he has done so much and has crafted so much for the, you know, the world of horror. It's just, it's beyond compare to a lot of other people. He's the grandpa, I would say, of horror. And then you have the fathers of horror, which are your Wes Cravens, your, I'm blanking on his name, John Carpenter's and such. So, but Alfred Hitchcock is the grandfather of, or even great grandfather potentially, of horror.
Yeah. And I mean, he became, I mean, it was so big, so prominent. I mean, he became an icon in his own. I mean, you know, his look and his name, and then later with there was the, you know, the show Alfred Hitchcock Presents, which shows some of his movies and different things, and he had that opening where, you know, people knew him, knew what he looked like, knew his voice, and just, you know, became he became a pop culture icon, character in his own right. So yeah, he is he's surpassed. He's went next level in so many guys, and yeah, so many great movies.
Yeah, absolutely. Gotta love it. And last but not least, August 14th, 1957, Tony Moran, known as his role as Michael Myers in Halloween, which he probably, did he play the, was he the guy who, was he unmasked Michael, or is this the Shape?
No, he was the Shape. He was the one, the unmasked guy.
Okay. As I couldn't remember who played, because I know there's two actors. There's one who did the unmasking, one that did the Shape, right?
Nick Castle was the Shape.
Yeah, that's right, Nick Castle. Almost forgot Nick Castle, man. Can't forget Nick Castle. So Tony Moran is the like the guy who pulled off the mask for just like a brief second towards the end.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, iconic nonetheless. Happy birthday, Tony. And then upcoming movie anniversaries. You've got some good ones here. August 10th, 1990, Flatliners, the OG with Kevin Bacon. Yeah, you know, I've seen the original and I have seen the remake. Both are good. I think the original definitely has that ambience of the 90s film that it was. So that's always fun. And obviously it's got Kevin Bacon, which is a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good movie. Good concept. Very good. Yeah. And yeah, you can't go wrong with Kevin Bacon.
Can't go wrong with a little bit of the bacon.
Everybody loves bacon.
That's right. Everybody loves bacon. Bacon. anywho. Past that, I'm just kidding. August 11th, 1989, only a mere year before, A Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child. This is by no means a bad movie. It's just not the best of the Nightmare movies. It's a fun little movie, but you know, it is what it is what I like to say. It's a decent movie.
Yeah, we did do a Nightmare franchise episode, and I believe we said that, you know, we enjoy them all varying degrees, but something's got to be near the bottom if you're ranking them. Yeah. And I don't think we had this one very high, but that does not necessarily mean it's bad or it's horrible. It's just maybe not quite as good as some of the others.
Yeah, that's usually how it is. You know, they can't all be winners.
They can't all be dream warriors.
That's right. They can't all be dream warriors. They can't all be the best. One of the arguably best sequels of all time. So, but I digress. Moving on. August 11, 2017, many, many, many moons later, Annabelle Creation. Annabelle Creation was a solid Annabelle movie. You know, it's obviously the OG Annabelle is probably my favorite Annabelle movie. But Annabelle Creation was just pretty solid. It had its quirks, but I enjoyed it. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah, it's okay. Again, I mean, like a lot of franchises or, you know, whatever, it's hard to match the original, right? But there's a reason that it spawned sequels.
Yeah.
You know, that a certain level and how good it was, whatever else. But, you know, I think it holds up on its own some.
I agree. I think a lot of the, what's it called? Conjuring Universe movies. They hold up on their own pretty well. I can't think of any specific one that doesn't hold up, I guess I would say.
Yeah, I would agree.
But I think we have another Conjuring movie come out soonish. So maybe when that comes out, we can do another review of all the films and kind of have a conversation about it. Maybe rank them. That'd be cool.
Sure. Yeah.
But moving on from the Conjuring Universe. August 12th, 1983, Cujo, the OG crazy dog. You know, it's been a very long time since I've seen Cujo, but it's sort of a sad movie. You know, it's a dog who can't help going crazy because it's got the rabies. So, you know, it's one of those movies.
Yeah, Stephen King movie, but Cujo's badass. It's got Dee Wallace in it. And It's freaking weird. It's or not weird. Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, it's frightening. And
it is
really, really a scary ass movie. Well done. So very well played.
And it, I'm sure it made a whole generation of people afraid of dogs.
Yeah.
If they weren't already afraid of dogs, which you, yeah, you know,
or just played off fear was already there.
Right, exactly. But
as Stephen King's very good to do.
He is. Yeah, he's very good at basically creating fear where there is already fear. That's for sure.
Tapping into it.
That's right. All right. Moving on from Cujo, August 13th, 1982, Friday the 13th, Part 3. Yeah, you know, Part 3 is great. This is when he dons
3D.
Yeah, 3D. This is where he dons the iconic hockey mask, you know. Part 1 was not Jason, no Jason. Part 2 was burlap sack Jason.
Baghead Jason.
Yeah, baghead. And 3 was the first time we see the mask.
And when we discussed this before, this is what I said was Part 3 was my iconic looking Jason look. It is like one of my favorite looks. It's, and there's probably a bit of nostalgia there for it being, you know, the final fully assembled Jason, right? You know, where you're finally get that, the first semblance of that iconic look that we all know as Jason. So, you know, it's probably why it hits a little different with me. But yeah, I love it. It's, you know, comparatively speaking to a lot of the Jasons, it's pretty simplistic, pretty basic, pretty straight ahead, but it lays that strong foundation for him. And, you know, I don't know the thinking behind the grabbing the hockey mask, putting it on, you know, who came up with that idea per se. I've not really explored that, but man, you want to talk about, you know, knocking it out of the park with an idea. It caught. I mean, how many people, even people that don't watch horror movies, know they see hockey mask, they think horror, they think Jason, they know Jason. Yeah. I mean, arguably, easily, right? One of the three, no doubt, one of the three most iconic horror movie characters of all time, if not the most. I mean, it's, you can make the argument, you know, any day of the week between, you know, there's obviously Freddy, Jason, Michael. Or to me, are the three, right? But I don't know. You'd be hard pressed for me to argue against the fact that more people recognize Jason as being from a horror movie than any other.
Yeah. You know, and I honestly would have to probably agree with you because it's, I mean, the mask, it's so simplistic, but it's also just, it's, I mean, it's scary, generally speaking, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying anything about quality of films, best films, any of that kind of stuff. Just, I'm just saying, recognizable pop culturally across all the board, even, you know, just in the general public, the general world, even those who don't watch, it's like, who would not know who Jason is? You show a guy, a big guy in a hockey mask with a machete, and people know, they know what that is. And it's,
and if they don't, then have they been living under a rock?
Yeah, and it's I would really stand on the argument that, and I'm sure there's no way to prove it, obviously, but that he would be probably the most recognizable, you know, whatever horror icon, just to the general public. And I, you know, Freddie and Myers would obviously be up there too, I would think. And, you know, Chucky would probably be up there. There's others. Ghostface might, you know, have a strong running, but the whole world knows who Jason is. I mean, it's just, again, it's crossed that realm of, you know, whatever, McDonald's, Coca-Cola, and Chevrolet. It's just, everybody knows what that is.
Yeah.
It's just there. And everybody pretty much knows that it's associated with Friday the 13th. And they know he's Jason. I mean, it's just, it has literally surpassed that next level pop culture status. Yeah. Whether you like him or you don't, you know who he is. But anyway, point being, all that was started and established right here in Part 3. That's where the look first took root. So.
Yeah. Well, and I think that the next movie, the next anniversary, kind of attests to this even a little bit further. August 13th, just a mere, what, 11 years later, Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday. I mean, a lot of people shit on this movie for rightful reason. I quite enjoy this movie.
Yeah.
It's a fun time to me. It's super cheesy, but it's still a good time. You know, Jason Goes to Hell. It's quite the adventure. And it this movie also broaches the subject of a crossover between Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street. Now, we didn't get it for a while.
A while.
But this planted those seeds, planted those roots.
Yeah. Well, it was intended to happen. It was intended to happen quicker. And then, you know, again, there's just always seems like there's shit in the way of this stuff. And there's legalities and there's people want this, people want that. And I'm pretty sure it took to the point where buyouts and buyouts and buyouts and buyouts. And finally, both the movie production companies that had the rights end up falling under the same umbrella that for it to really happen. And, it is what it is. People talk, you know, I mean, you know, any franchise that runs for a while is going to have, it's got movies. You can never say Friday the 13th didn't take some big swings. You know, I mean, you know.
Oh, boy, did they.
Jason went to hell, and, you know, Jason went to space, and Jason fought Freddy. I mean, they weren't afraid to try something different. And,
I sometimes wish that they were at least a little cautious or a little afraid, but
yeah, I mean, I think, you know, probably lesson learned. It's probably best to at least stay with one foot in what got you to the dance and, and keep it grounded a little bit. And, you can send Jason to Manhattan. It's still Jason. And, you do some things and it's just like, ooh, you lose the roots of what, and I know a lot of people like those movies, love those movies. That's fine. It's not necessarily that I hate. I mean, I'm not a big Jason X fan, but, because I really think, I don't know. I think you lose a lot of the core Friday the 13th, qualities.
You do.
And it just, you know, I don't know. But, you know, it is what it is. Hell, I'm not going to knock anybody for trying something. You know, they definitely tried. And it's, you have to give context, man. It's a weird time for movies at that time. And they tried something different and fresh. And
yeah. It didn't land, but, you know, kudos for trying.
Yeah. Didn't land for me. Some people swear by Jason X, and more power to you. I'm not going to judge anybody. I like my shitty movies too.
Hey, listen, I just acknowledge that it's a shitty movie. That's all right. That's all I need. You know what I mean?
That's right. And remember, we strongly believe that somewhere out there, there's a Sledgehammer super fan. So, hey, who's judging people?
Exactly. I'm sure there's a Jason X super fan out there.
Oh, I bet there's many of them. I really do.
I'd pay some money on that bet, I think.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a whole good, nice little subsection of horror fans that just love that movie. And, hey, more power to them. That's fine.
Yeah. You know, I mean, not all movies can be great movies. And
doesn't hurt me that they love it. I don't care.
Exactly. Yeah,
they're entitled to love what they want to love. But
very much so.
Not my cup of tea.
That's, yeah. But, I think we're done with Friday the 13th for now. But we do, however, have one last movie on the movie anniversaries. This is a movie that's on my to-watch list from Dave.
This is my cup of tea.
Yeah, this is your cup of tea. August 14th, 1987, The Monster Squad.
Yeah. Tell you gotta watch that movie. Just, since we're close enough, just give it a little time. Watch it around Halloween time, because it's a very fun Halloween-y. It just, you know, got that Halloween feel to it. So it's a good movie to watch around Halloween. But it's a, it's a fun movie. You gotta watch it.
Yeah, I'm down for it. Honestly, I'll give it a watch this year, or at least I'll try. No 100% promises, but I'll give it a try.
But, damn it. Make time for the Monster Squad.
Make time for the Monster Mash. I'm just kidding. but anywho. I pretty much think that does it for our movie anniversaries. So we're going to move on to some upcoming releases. Cuckoo is coming to a limited theater release on August 9th. It is described as a 17-year-old girl is forced to move in with her family to a resort where things are not what they seem. I'm actually interested in this movie, but it's definitely getting a limited release. I think maybe only one of the theaters near me are getting it, maybe. Yeah, I'll probably catch it on streaming on the other end, on the flip side. But this is definitely a movie I'll check out. It looks very good.
This is another movie put out by Neon, who gave us Long Legs. So, and we loved Long Legs. You can listen to that review. And so I'm hopeful that, Neon's going to get some momentum and start establish himself as one of the preeminent horror release, production companies and give us some, they did right with Long Legs. So let's see what Cuckoo brings us. So when I get a chance, I'll watch it.
Yeah. Oh, show. Very good. And like I said, limited release, so check your local listings, I guess, what they say. So,
I figured it'd probably have a pretty quick turnaround to hit video on demand.
I'm curious because I don't know if I'm not sure what all of the movies Neon's made, but I'm curious what streaming service will go on. I wonder if it'll go on like a Screambox or a Shudder, or if Neon's like owned by like Showtime or something like that, and we'll get it on like HBO or some shit, Paramount.
I don't know. Just
I'll look into that.
We'll see. Let's see what happens.
Very good. Moving on to our last little upcoming release, We Are Zombies is coming to Screambox on August 13th. The movie is described as in a city infested with the living impaired, aka non-cannibal zombies. Three slackers after easy money must fight small-time crooks and an evil mega corporation to save their kidnapped grandma. We will be reviewing this movie next episode. So I believe we got a screener link for this one.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet, but it seems like a fun time, honestly.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a horror comedy. The description itself makes me chuckle. I mean, there's a lot there. And I love the fact they're using the phrase living impaired. And it's just, I don't know why. It makes me chuckle.
I know some living impaired people.
Yeah, and I'm curious about the take on the non-cannibal zombies, and I don't know, this ought to be unique. So, I'm looking forward to it, and I have faith. Screenbox gives us some good stuff, and we'll see next episode what we thought of it.
Yeah, absolutely, good stuff. Living impaired indeed.
There's many days I feel living impaired.
Same. But all right, folks, that pretty much does it for all of our news, anniversaries, birthdays, and upcoming releases. All kinds of good stuff there, so make sure you check it out. But also, make sure you follow us on social media. We post about this stuff occasionally from time to time. So if you want to keep up with us and some of these release-type deals, just give us a follow. It's free, and it doesn't do anything but good for you. So
that's right.
All right, moving on to our review coming up next. So stick around and you will hear our official review, I should say, of the movie Trap.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/WrasslePod. That is linktr.ee/RASSLEPOD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
All right, we're back here on Listen to Their Screams, and it is review time. We are reviewing the movie Trap, which was released in theaters August 2nd, written and directed by M. Night, however you say his name, Shyamalan, starring Josh Hartnett, Ariel Donahue? I guess that would be Donahue. It's got a G in there, but just throw me for a loop. I think it's Donahue. And Salika Shyamalan and others. The movie grossed $15,454,146 domestically at the box office on its opening weekend, which was good for number three. I'm pretty sure that is behind Deadpool, Wolverine, and Twisters. So not bad, pulling in three behind those two. And this movie, you know, it, here's the thing right off the bat. This is another one of those movies that I'm like, I don't know. I'm not sure that I'm classifying this as horror after I've seen it. It's definitely like a suspenseful thriller. There, you know, there's definitely lots of tension. There is whatever else. And, it's a solid M. Night movie. It has, you know, some turns in it that you don't, you know, you're trying to figure it out. Maybe you don't see them coming. I very much wanted, you know, going into this movie, wondering, because even with the trailers and what you've, you know, seen, if you've seen that, you get a vibe on what this is, who this quote unquote trap is for. You pretty much know. Even going into the movie, you're pretty sure. So it's one of those deals where you're watching it saying, okay, what are they going to do then? And how's this playing out and what's happening here? The movie, you know, I love Josh Hartnett, did a great job. Ariel Donahue, who played his daughter, did a great job. She was great. But I think, boom, the stolen it. I love Josh Hartnett. He was great in this. But I think Salika, M. Night's daughter, who played, what was she called? Dark Raven? Black Raven?
Lady Raven.
Lady Raven. There you go. Man, I thought she stole the movie. I thought she was great. She just played the role. And let's be real. It's kind of a T-Swifty role.
Yeah.
I thought she did a great job, because I thought going into it, you know, she would just be, you know, the onstage talent, right? Just that part of it. But she plays a much bigger role in the movie. And I thought the movie, it was very cleverly written, right? Just the way it played out, this chess match in this trap between the officials, between the killer, and the back and forth, and the one-upsmanship, and getting, you know, through stages, or what, not stages, but you know what I mean, step at a time, and how he was avoiding things. I thought it was very well done. I thought it was very clever. And, you know, I think there was it was a movie, but there was at least enough sense of believability that it didn't feel super far-fetched, right? There are these exceptionally brilliant criminal masterminds who stay one step ahead of the law, you know, in these ways. But this, I thought it was very clever, very fun. It was a super enjoyable watch. Again, I don't know if I would define it as horror in retrospect, but it was definitely, well, I don't know what like a crime thriller type deal. It was, you know, it was suspenseful. There had some tension and stuff in it. Yeah. And, but it was a fun movie to watch. And I've heard lots of people knock it. I think this is just a thing nowadays. I just think it's a viral thing that people want to go on, no matter what the movie is. There is certain people that's going to go out there and say, this is horrible, this is the worst movie, just to try to get, to try to get likes. I don't know what it is. I literally, though, saw people say, this is the worst movie, period. Not just horror movie. Not just thriller movie, the worst movie of all that they have ever seen. Which leads me, there's only two choices in this category here. You either haven't watched many movies, or you're just fucking lying to try to get attention. I mean, come on. Whether you didn't really enjoy the movie to say it's the worst, because there's nothing bad about the movie. It's well acted. It's well shot. It's you know, well thought out enough. It's not boring by any chance. Not comparatively speaking. So I get annoyed by that. You know, I know that we tend to be a little more positive on things. We try to find positive aspects of the movies instead of putting anything down, right? We'll point out flaws, but we always try to counter with positives and point out when we can and what we can. There have been a few movies that have been challenging. But I don't know if there's any movie I would ever say is the worst movie I've ever seen and just come out and say it, because I don't know. That's just a weird statement to me. You know, because I've seen a lot of movies and I have seen a lot of bad movies. And I just can't fathom much I don't know, being the worst movie. I mean, come on, there's there's made for TV movies that are really horrific. I mean, it's just, I don't know. That's an odd statement for me. I don't know. It always perplexes me. But anyway, my point being, if you're out there reading that, people saying that, that this is the worst movie of all time, bullshit. Don't listen to that shit. Now, there's people saying this is by far their least favorite M. Night. Okay, well, you know, perhaps. I mean, maybe I could see someone saying that. But let's be real. M. Night's had some really fucking great movies. Yeah. So, I mean, like we said earlier, if something's going to be at the bottom of that list, and if this is it, does that make it a bad movie or just not quite on the level of some of his others in your eyes? I would agree. This is not quite on the level of some of his movies. But once again, he's made some really standout movies. So it's unfair to think that every single time out that he's going to do that. It's okay that the guy just goes out and makes a solid movie that's just fun to watch. And that's what he's done here. Anyway, I'm rambling. My whole point is, don't get caught up in, man, what people say online. And because it's, I hope you're not listening to someone tweeting or whatever, Xing or whatever they call it now, that they think this is the worst movie of all time. I just hope people, I don't know. Does anybody put stock in that? I don't know. But it's pretty absurd for someone to say that. So anyway, Ike, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, let me start off by saying that I do agree. I don't necessarily think that this is a full throttle horror movie. I do think this probably belongs more in the realm of like a thriller, you know, something to that regard. And like you said, the trailer does give away quite a bit, I would say, for, you know, what the context of the film is. And, you know, sometimes that's a bad thing. And in this case, I don't necessarily think it was a bad thing. I think it left you trying to figure out like where they were going to go with the movie, because instead of trying to figure out, like, honestly, to me, instead of trying to figure out who the killer was, I was trying to figure out how is he going to get out of this?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that was kind of the thrill of it, was not that you're necessarily rooting for the killer. You're trying to figure out, you're trying to follow this killer's mindset. You're trying to figure out how the fuck is he going to get out of this? Because clearly he is in an unwinnable situation, which is what the profiler, the FBI profiler, wants to do in this case, because, you know, clearly the killer, Cooper, is a very smart, very intelligent man, as most sociopaths are in these cases. They're very mechanical. They just know how to do things, and they're able to figure things out. Now, I think first and foremost, Josh Hartnett did a fantastic job playing a sociopathic killer. You know, the way that his mannerisms were, they definitely felt like they were someone trying too hard to seem normal. And I heard a lot of people complain that like his acting was weird, but like that was kind of the point. The point is that he's not normal. Like,
yeah, it was obvious, right. This is a guy. Again, these are mild spoilers, but I hope it's not. I mean, it literally states in the movie, this guy, there is trauma that set this apart. He is OCD, and they showed that throughout the movie. There are situations. I mean, this is not uncommon behavior.
Right.
It's, you know, I thought he played it very well, you know, because I have been diagnosed with OCD. And mine's not this over, you know, where I have to wash my hands, you know, so many times, or I have to, you know, turn a light switch on and off. It's not that kind per se. But even when you have an OCD and you have those, you know, obsessions or compulsions, there's quite a few, you find ways to integrate into society, right? You've got your things, but you still leave a knife, but there are quirks, there are things. And I didn't find the way he acted weird at all. I just don't think people maybe quite understood what the point of the character was. And I think you have to see the entire movie to understand and get the full scope of what this character is trying to achieve and what his acting was trying to achieve.
Yeah, and I do definitely agree with that. I think another thing too is that like you said, if you go into this movie with any kind of like like, oh, this is not going to be good. Obviously, that's going to be how you feel about the movie, because, you know, the way it's built and everything else, it does sort of subvert your expectations in that fashion, because it's a little bit different than how the trailer depicts it, you know, as you actually watch the movie and everything else. So the only other thing I would really say to sort of add to all this is that there's a very nice twist that honestly kind of makes sense, and on how they knew he was going to be at this event. And honestly, I felt like that was kind of like the twist, like how he was caught. And obviously I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to hint at it, but I'm just going to say that that was a very nice twist. It was very eloquently done, and it was very interesting in how they did it. And I was very curious how they were going to come about this. Cause you know, it's one of those things where everything he did was a means to an end, right?
Yes.
You know, you see from the trailer, and I'm going to speak purely from what you see in the trailer. He hurts people in the trailer to create distractions so that way he can try and gain an advantage in the situation. And because of that, it's this constant battle of him trying to maintain control. And when he feels out of control, that's when he starts to like lose his shit. So, and it's just very interesting how they played it off. Like I said, Josh Hartnett did a fantastic job. And I do have to agree that, you know, Saleeka Shyamalan did such a freaking good job as Lady Raven. I mean, like you said, I thought she was just going to be this, you know, the sound piece trying to make music the thing. But she did so much more than that. She was a very integral part of the story, especially the latter part of the movie. So definitely, if you're going into it thinking, oh, she's just going to be there, no. She has a very purposeful part and is so good.
Yeah. And remarkably, this is her on-screen debut. This is her acting debut. And she did have a hand in writing and performing all this music. She literally wrote, hey, you know, whatever, an album's worth, a concert's worth of music. And it's out there, right? It's out there. She wrote and performed these songs. It's remarkable what she did. And she did such a great job, especially for her first role. I'm very, very impressed.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's just, you know, like we said, this is her first on-screen appearance. She has done other stuff in the film world.
Yeah.
A lot of it is soundtrack stuff and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So it, you know, it's not super surprising that she did this music, because you know she's kind of done music before. But but like you said, it wasn't just the music. She created an entire album's worth of music just to be in a movie where the music wasn't necessarily the centerpiece. Now I will say the music is very integral to the story, but obviously the centerpiece of the story is Josh Hartnett doing his thing.
Yeah.
But no, absolutely. It was such a fun movie. And I think that if you don't listen to what people say online, I think that's a big thing that we've kind of touched on. Just don't listen to what people say online. Just go into it with your own thoughts. You know, don't have any preconceptions. Just go into it with the idea of trying to enjoy the movie, and you're going to enjoy the movie. You know what I mean? It is by no means the world's greatest movie. It's not groundbreaking, but it is a very good, very entertaining movie.
Yeah, it's definitely a fun movie to watch. It's just well constructed, right? It's really, if you think about it, the overall concept of the movie, it's a simple concept, right? If you give it, if you just did an elevator pitch on this movie and the ideal, it's a pretty simplistic concept that they took and gave lots of layers and depth, and really, it's like they knew how to get what they wanted to do, to get from point A to point Z, and they creatively got to the, you know, from one point to the other. And everybody delivered on their parts. We always talk a lot about how important it is to be invested in the characters. They did a great job, right? The characters were great in this movie. Even characters that only had momentary appearances or just a scene or two really did what they were supposed to do. And really added to the movie. I mean, there's just people, you know, that work and do different things in this movie that are only in there in bits, but they're very integral to the overall puzzle. And they do a great job. And it's very well constructed. There's not a lot of holes to me to what was trying to be delivered. You know, and I don't know. I don't know people's complaints. I don't know. Again, I don't know if they're what. I guess they want a completely mind-blowing M. Night twist of a movie. And I just think it's unfair to think that he can produce that every time out. That, you know, that every movie is just going to completely knock you off, you know, on your ass and give you something. It's just, you know, he went out, he did what M. Night does so well, and he did it well. And it's good enough, right? It's good enough. And I've heard people talk about that. It's underperforming. I don't know that it's underperforming or it's just, come on. It's right now being released in the same time period where you have Deadpool and Wolverine just manhandling the industry. I mean, this is a tough time to put a movie out there.
Right.
Because I mean, you know, Deadpool and Wolverine is just, it's a juggernaut. And that's not even taking into account the movies that are really, you know, twisters and some of the animated stuff that's still out there lurking, doing well. There's still lots, you know, this is a prime time right now. And for the fact that it did what it did and came in third on its opening weekend, I don't call that bad. And this is going to be one of those movies again that's is going to really, really, really just slay when it hits streaming.
Oh, for sure.
This is that kind of movie. So, but again, I really enjoyed it. And I know horror is a very wide encompassing genre. I know it's difficult to say when you say horror to define what that is, right? Because lots fall under that. And some people would consider a kind of a thriller movie, you know, to be a type of horror. And they're not necessarily wrong, right? I mean, it can be, you know, again, it's such an encompassing genre that it's really hard to nail down and define and say something is or isn't horror. I personally don't view something like this truly as horror. And that doesn't mean I can't appreciate it and enjoy it. And some people might think, oh, yeah, this is a form of horror. And that's fine. I can see that. I can see where someone can pitch that idea and that make that argument. And that's fine. But again, fun movie. Held my attention. You know, just very, very creative. Very well acted. You know, I think there's enough of a twist there to make the ending of that third part of the movie really intriguing and it's you know fun. So I don't know. I don't know what much more people can want. There's a complaint. So so let's rank this thing. Like you said though, or let's rate it. And like you said again though, not groundbreaking, right? This is very much following the M. Night blueprint. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I'm just saying it's he's leaned into his strengths and given us a solid movie. So it's not like he has rewritten his thing, but so I'm going to give it. It is a fun movie though, but I'm going to give it just a tick up because I think this is a good enough movie and a fun enough movie to give it a 3.5 out of 5 screams. I think it's just it's a notch above just a middle of the ground enjoyable movie. So I'm giving it a slightly above and I'm giving it a 3.5 out of 5. So, Ike, what are you rating this thing?
Yeah, I honestly had to kind of agree. You know, and when I initially watched the movie, I think I was aiming a little higher, but, you know, sort of after thinking about it and everything else, like I said, this is, you know, M. Night Shyamalan, he does what he does. He does what he does very well. But sometimes it's, you know, just a rehash of other things that we've already seen potentially. So this is still a very strong, very structural movie. So 3.5 out of 5 for me as well.
Yep. There you go. 3.5 out of 5 from us. Again, not what we would necessarily define as horror, but still a fun, kind of a suspenseful, you know, a thriller of a movie that keeps your attention, at least in my opinion. So go give it a watch. I think it's definitely worth the trip to the theater to see this movie. I know there's lots of good, like I said, lots of good stuff out there. I know people are wanting to go see Deadpool Wolverine, you know, a dozen times. And I don't doubt your judgment there. I'm not saying you're wrong, because, you know, I love that movie too. But definitely give Trap a watch. It's really a movie that there's an added depth, I think, to watching it on the big screen. I think it adds to it. Maybe it's because there's a lot of music at the center of this movie that I think it really, you know, having that sound, I think I just felt like it added to it, right? You really felt like you were there a little more to have that big screen experience. So give it a watch, and, you know, nothing else, you're supporting the movie. So, like we said earlier, next episode, we are reviewing the movie We Are Zombies, coming to Screambox on August 13th. Again, that is a movie that is not a self-confession on our part. Although, you know, maybe the wives would argue sometimes we are a bit zombie-like. And you know what? I'll take that as a compliment. But again, that's what we're reviewing next episode. It will be coming to Screambox August 13th. So stay tuned for that. Speaking of the wives, special thank you to them for all their support and everything they do. And a thank you to all of you, all of our listeners, our online supporters, our followers, everybody who interacts with us and everything else. You guys are the best. And we appreciate it taking any of your time to listen to our show or give us a like or share or interact or whatever you do, that you are taking time out of your lives and giving it to us. It's an honor, and we thank you very, very much. So, Ike, before we close this out and get out of here, anything else you want to add?
Well, you know, just keep an eye out for those who are living impaired. never know. Might encounter them in the world, I suppose.
Yeah, and if you are living impaired, then, you know, we will keep you in our thoughts. And we hope. I don't know what to... I'm very confused. Not confused. I'm curious. A non-cannibalistic zombie. What? I mean, so they, I guess they just wander around. Do they not eat anything? How do they? I don't know.
I mean, based on the description, it is non-cannibal zombies. So they are dead. They are resurrected from the dead, but they do not eat human flesh. So I don't know.
So they're just out there wandering around and. Interesting. I wonder how many of those are getting hit in traffic and stuff like that. It's just very curious.
I'm kind of, well, it says in a city infested with living impaired. So I'm wondering if they're like contained to like a specific area, perhaps.
Maybe. Is it like a zoo where you pay to go see them? And...
pay to go see the living impaired?
Yeah. I don't know. Interesting. But I do love the phrase living impaired.
I do too.
That's so clever. I can't believe, I'm not saying someone hasn't, but can't believe that's not been used before. That's just great. So, you know, that alone has me optimistic to watch this movie. That's going to be a fun watch. So we'll see, though. We'll give you all that full review and full report next week, along with all the news and anniversaries and everything else we give you every episode. So until then, thank you again for listening. Thank you for all you do. Make sure you follow us on social media. Make sure you hit subscribe on whatever you are listening to us. Make sure you go and check out our interview with Ry Barrett. Go to YouTube and watch it there. Even if you've listened to it, go watch it and get that added dimension of the video, right? Because it just adds to it, right? It's a better watch. And damn it, we took the time to do that for you. Just can't you just take the time to watch it? Come on. I mean, I feel like you owe it to us. You know, I mean, I'm feeling a little entitled there. Right. I feel like they owe us that. No. Just go watch it. It's cool. Ry was a great interview, and it's highly worth going and seeing the video version. But until next episode, when we will be reviewing We Are Zombies, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always have many pleasant nightmares.